Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. This is February's edition, and we are excited to have Nick Hansen here with us. Nick lives in Paonia, and we're going to talk about a bunch of different things today, but really focusing on the site that he has out there, his interactions with Jerome, and some interesting evolutions of the Airbnb that they've been running and the educational offerings that they're going to bring forward here for both locals and people who come from far and wide to enjoy the beauty and bounty of the North Fork and the Frying Pan valleys and our beautiful farms here. So I'd like to welcome Nick Hansen to the show. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Our pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Jerome, I'd like you to start us by sharing how you met Nick and why we all find ourselves on this show today together.
Well, Nick came and did a tour of Crimpy last summer, and I think he read the book, and he was excited about looking at how permaculture might improve, new permaculture design might improve his site. And he's been studying permaculture, and he's done a lot of reclamation on his site. Nick, you bought the place when it was pretty much a burned out vineyard at that point, right?
Years ago? 2011, it was just pretty run down, and nothing you wouldn't really see across the country, just a small farm that needed a little bit of love and had been neglected over the years.
And you've done a lot of improvement, and there are a lot of elements on your farm that are still usable and intact. You've saved 5 acres of grapes, and you have a really large timber crop there that was put in as a windbreak, and that was, you're also bringing in animals occasionally on lease. You have a really good water system, and you're looking at doing more education and using that, your bed and breakfast, as a backdrop for diversifying your economic system there and being more resilient and having lots of different income sources that can feed into. And I think that's just a very good permaculture strategy overall, to get diversified. And you want to talk a little bit about what you did the first 6 years and how you helped improve the soil and put in some important water systems?
Yeah, of course. So it's actually kind of an interesting story. Myself and my family, none of us really had any experience with farming. So you can imagine, stepping into a 28-acre farm, not knowing, what direction to take, it can be pretty overwhelming. And that's kind of really where that discovery process of learning about permaculture and sustainability came into mind. This idea that we can limit our inputs and have something much more productive in the long term. So that was always the principle, behind everything we've done out here. The vineyard was really in poor shape. It was actually one of the largest vineyards in the North Fork Valley when we first got here. So we ended up taking out actually 14 acres of that. And the soil at that time, the organic matter was around 1%. So it was pretty depleted. And that was just a testament to kind of typical, farming practices and mainstream synthetic fertilizers. So really over the past 6-7 years, we've been just implementing, bringing in kind of all natural soil amendments. We've done fish emulsion. We've done some biodynamic techniques with alpaca manure. We've brought in tons and tons of different additives that we had shipped in from Utah. We had red bursum clover that we had put in. We put in alfalfa. With the idea, we just wanted to put in more nitrogen and kind of bring up that organic matter over the years. All the meanwhile, working on, how are we going to support ourselves and what do we want to do on the farm? So originally, that was our mindset, was we're going to build a bed and breakfast. This is something we know how to do while we learn the farm. And so it's just kind of that classic story. It's a family business. And as I started to learn more about farming, I went back to school to start studying it and really just saw the value in it. And now it's, trying to convert our bed and breakfast, get away from that, but really develop our farm now. And that's kind of where I'm excited working with you, Jerome, and to kind of take this next step and leverage our facility now for something more involved with the community.
Can you tell us the name of your bed and breakfast or your farm?
Yeah,
that way everyone knows
so
and how to reach
Agape
you.
It's Agape Farm and Retreat. And that name's actually, it It's in the Bible, and it means unconditional love.
Beautiful. Oh, and you have a little puppy in the background, I hear.
Yeah, that's he's our greeter. He kind of checks our guests in, and he's a little Shih Tzu, so.
Excellent. So, Nick, you say that you're relatively new to farming and this kind of practice. Where did you come from, and what did you do before this, and how did it land you here in the North Fork Valley?
Yeah, so it's kind of a non-traditional story, but so I grew up in Florida, and I was a big surfer, and you know, farming was the farthest thing away from me. I never had any intention, didn't know anything about it. And when I got out of high school, I was at University of Florida briefly, and I ended up leaving, and I got a job in the Senate. I was sponsored to work in the Sergeant-at-Arms office, and that's kind of what got my foot in the door politically. And I come from a family that's always been involved with lobbying and different political fundraising, and so that's kind of the path I thought I was going to go down. And then come 2009 with healthcare reform, you know, being a young man, you know, 20 years old and working 14 hours a day and seeing the dysfunction at the highest levels of government kind of made me start to question things. And then just kind of through that practice of questioning what I wanted with my life, I started kind of just looking at, you know, sustainability and really where does my interest lie. And so I didn't really intend to be a farmer, but I just knew I wanted to get out of the city and do something else. And so that's also what my stepfather had passed away, and so my mother was also on this exploratory kind of search. And so that's how we found Paonia and came out here, and we got a farm. And everyone, including our own family, thought we were crazy to do this. And, you know, years later now, agricultural tourism is a thing. So that's kind of a little quick background on that.
Yes, and your bed and breakfast really feeds into that, because people, they really enjoy, I know when we were out there for a short retreat that, you know, you had some horses out that you were having someone just board their horses there for a while, and you've had cattle on occasionally, so you can actually bring animals in that you don't own, and you get the manure and you get the grazing. And you get a certain fee for that, but also it brings the ambiance to your guests so that they can maybe, you know, ride a horse or pet a horse. And you also have about 5 acres of woodlot, which was a monoculture pine forest, but it also has some opportunities to work into a more inclusive silviculture or silvopasture project if it was redeveloped. So a lot of the things that are there weren't put in an integrated form, but they can be integrated. I think that's the exciting part about it. And we're planning to do a one-day workshop and a one-day charrette, I think, in May. The dates are, do we have the dates on that pick, don't we?
Yeah, exactly, Drum. You know, you said it about the ambiance, you know, and that's also, Stephanie, kind of what also helped me discover permaculture was that we have these guests that come in for wine tours, and I think we've got about 12 or 13 different wineries now, and they're only getting better in the valley, but they come in, they drink their wine, they have great food, and they can stay on our farm. And through that process, they would step out, they'd always ask us, you know, what are you growing here? And we've got apple trees and peach trees, apricots, we've got the vineyard, we've got raised beds with foods. And, you know, I can't express how much, you know, people from New York who are coming in, you know, from a Wall Street background, but when they can go out and pick their own fresh tomato out of a garden and they see how you grow it and then they eat it, they really appreciate that. And so that's kind of where Jerome and I are trying to move this, you know, workshop thing forward, is to convert our bed and breakfast no longer just for, you know, the weekend warrior who wants to, you know, have a nice wine event, but, you know, intentional retreats, people that come in that want to experience the ambiance of staying on a nice facility, but also learn. And so that's kind of, you know, the vision moving forward for us, is to convert the bed and breakfast aspect to an educational kind of, you know, intentionally based operation, if that makes any sense.
It does. And on that note, this workshop that you're speaking of that's coming in May, can you tell me more about that, either Jerome or Nick, what your vision is or what the kind of outcome is, or if there's still spots available for people to sign up and how they would maybe do
that?
So
It's going to be May 17th through the 19th. I'm still going through pricing right now. I'll have that out in the next week or so. And that's all going to be on our website, www.agapefarmandretreat.com. And you can also give us a call for more on that. And I'll let Jerome explain a little bit about what we're going to be doing coursework-wise. But in simple terms, it's, you know, for someone like myself, I've always taken a non-traditional path. I've learned the best through hands-on learning. And also through kind of my own reading, I've learned that a lot of the food production that we have in the world is done on farms that are 30 acres or less. It's not necessarily the big monocrop operations of 1,000-plus acres. So this idea of having a hands-on training, educational kind of site on a 30-acre farm being delivered by industry professionals is something very appealing to me. But I'll go ahead and let Jerome kind of explain a little bit about the coursework.
Well, I've done this once already, well, twice, actually. Stephanie and I have done charrettes together, and Corrine from Bozeman, Montana, is going to be one of the leaders in this two-day charrette. It's a one-day introduction to permaculture design, and then one-day charrette. And we've done one of these in Montana, which was intended to buy about 20 people, and it was a very good success. It was all videotaped, and if you wanted to watch any of that, it would be howtofarmandgarden.com, Joe Clark's video YouTube channel. Corrine is a professional permaculture designer, and she'll walk everybody through the principles, and then we'll have maps and Google Maps and break down into teams, and we can take your property and use it as a living laboratory for doing permaculture design. And it'll be a wild design, but it'll be a lot of good ideas will come out of it, and people, you'll get the benefit of new ideas, plus the people that are there will get freed up from the fact that they think that they can't really design their own property. They can do a lot of good design work just once they have some basic knowledge on how to do that. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing. And Stephanie Siphon will be there to do some herbal stuff as well. We'll have some local people as well talking about what they do there on the different farms that are there. So it'll also be just an opportunity for you to network with the local people. And you're somewhat isolated out there on Stewart Mesa, and there are so many farms out there, so many people doing so many different things that I think this will be a good opportunity for you to just to embrace some of the community and get more involved in what's going on.
Excellent. So
yeah, and it's going to be we're also going to kind of play into the ambiance of it as well, Stephanie. I have a friend of mine, Chef St. Peter, and he's an instructor at Colorado Mesa as well as a certified cooking judge, and he travels all over the country for that. So he's going to be delivering a private cooking lesson on Saturday night for the guests that are staying with us, and then we're also going to be having a yoga instructor come in on Sunday morning. So, you know, people are going to be able to learn and have some fun at the same time.
Awesome. And you had mentioned that this is maybe part of this series of master classes that you're thinking about or planning on offering throughout the year. Are there any other agricultural courses or any other courses or workshops that you've been kind of either planning or dreaming about having at your facility?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually glad you asked. So it's a bit of an origin story, I guess, right now, and kind of a hot topic, but you look at the passing of the Farm Bill and what that's done with industrial hemp. And so part of the idea with permaculture, you know, is you want to create a sustainable system, and I don't have any, you know, illusions that small farms right now have been getting kicked in the teeth for years. So mm-hmm. How can you, you know, make that a sustainable operation? And that's where hemp's just really exciting right now. So we're actually going to be doing 2 acres of hemp this year with the goal of, you know, starting our own company, and we're working with a couple different companies out in Denver to kind of also partner with the educational components for that. So as our hemp operation grows this year, we're going to be incorporating permaculture techniques, biodynamics, and we're going to be working with industry professionals in the hemp space for, you know, we've got combined 20 years experience with that. So, you know, as that grows, we're going to be able to bring in some of these people with these hemp companies, plant geneticists, guys that have been growing this for 14 plus years, and we can also lead some discussions and educational components for farmers that may want to get into the hemp space. you know, breaking down the crop, how you have success with it, what you have to worry about, all those kind of things you learn through firsthand experience. So it's something I'm also really personally excited about learning. So we're going to be offering that in the future. And then we're also going to be working with our vineyard here as well. Our grapes, we're going to bring in some instructors that can teach people who, you know, might want to learn about winemaking or vineyard maintenance and that kind of thing. And that'll also be delivered by some local winemakers in our valley. You know, once again, the whole intention that the instructors themselves are actually successfully doing this now, and they're teaching you firsthand how to do it.
Great. That's really good. I'm going to jump in here. Thanks for listening to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio, KDNK.
Just getting back to Nick, I just, you have such an ideal location, the views, and your infrastructure is so well developed. You have really good water. You have a commercial water rights. You have your irrigation system all set up, either you know, sprinkler or flooding irrigation. So you shouldn't have a lot of trouble with, and you have improved your organic matter, you know, 100% actually, and a lot more.
We've gone from 1% to we're breaking 3% in certain areas. So
yeah,
it's definitely improving, you know, and hopefully with your guidance, you know, I know we're going to get a lot more improvement. So,
and I think there are some elements there. You have about 20, a nice big field that is completely open right now. It's a blank slate. And I think
22 acres we're looking to develop in the next 2 to 3 years. Yep.
And you have some chickens, and I think we talked about putting some pasture poultry in there, maybe an eggmobile, which is kind of...
Yep, we're looking to do that this year. And then, you know, like I said, come year two and three, we're going to be doing exponential expansion. So this is truly kind of an exploratory. We're going to just try everything this year and try to do it our best in the right way and then grow from there.
And I think we ordered about 200 trees from the NRCS for... expanding your woodlot or diversifying your woodlot and putting in some...
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've been wanting to also improve, you know, the pine forest area that we have in there that was planted as a windbreak and to try and improve the health of those trees as well. So I really like your idea about improving and incorporating more diversity.
Yes, and doing a food forest, and we're also bringing in a specialist on no-till gardening and no-till annual gardening. So I think maybe we could add that component to the mix as well. We have a new staff in at Crimpy coming in next week, and hopefully Patrice could come to the workshop and we can start talking about doing no-till annual gardening. That means no double digging, but just mulching.
Who likes the double dig? That's hard.
That's too much work.
It's way too much work. I gave up on that. When I found sheet mulching, for those of you who have ever done sheet mulching, the first bed you do in a sheet mulch, you're like, I'm never double digging again. Really exciting stuff. So, Nick, I'd love to know what perhaps moving on to this site has been the biggest challenge for you. And that could be as broad as moving from the city to a small town like Paonia and what socially that looks like, or you know, your grapevines or anything in between?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm being perfectly honest, it's been one of the most difficult situations I've honestly had to deal with, because it's going into a complete unknown. And the only people, you know, I don't have to tell the farmers listening, but the only people, you know, you can count on your farm is yourself.
Mm.
So it kind of comes with this innate belief that, you know, you have to believe in what you're doing. And the results, you know, you're literally planting and waiting, mm-hmm. you know, so it's...
And hoping.
You're operating truly on faith. And it's, I think that's been one of the biggest difficulties is, you know, even when it comes to, you know, supporting yourself, it's, you know, are people going to enjoy what I've created here? You know, did I just make a bad choice did I make a poor financial decision? And, you know, is the work I'm putting in my garden beds, am I going to produce this year? And I think those questions I've never really had to deal with, you know, and I think a lot of farmers have been for years. And so, I mean, that's been really difficult. And I guess I'd say the other difficulty is probably just the isolation. You know, I went from being in a big city. I was working in the Senate. So, you know, at 19, as a full-time employee there, I didn't have really much of a social life. So I don't miss that as much, but it's definitely more isolating, and it's a lot of work. I mean, I don't have to tell you all, but right now in the wintertime, you know, you're constantly planning for the next season. And come fall when we're done harvesting, I've got to get all the beds ready again. And so it's just, you're always putting in work for something that you'll see later. And I think that's something that living in a world, you know, in new generations and everything's about instant gratification, that's just not what farming's about.
Right. And what a great opportunity for us, though. You know, it's not a 2-day prime shipping at your door. Half an hour after you order it, it's this lesson in patience and faith and really putting your love into something that you may not see and you definitely aren't going to see tomorrow. I can see the challenges. There's such a beauty to that too, especially in comparison to what a lot of modern society is getting us used to.
It's interesting too, because it's lately we've started to have some success out here at the farm. But you know, like I said, we started this in 2011, so it's definitely been a labor of love for a long time. And it's just, I think it's really fascinating how we're praised in public for things that we practice in private for years.
It's nice to.
And I think I think that kind of goes to show what farmers are really all about.
Just the Shred will give us some opportunities to expand on some different ideas as well, and in to bring community. And then you're already diversified to a certain extent, and I think that's really important that you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. You're not trying to just grow hemp. You've got your bed and breakfast. You have your vineyard. You have your educational component you're developing. So, and more resilient you can be, the less risk you'll have is, you know, of having any financial bubble down the road.
Well, and it's exciting too, because I always want to get more and more diverse. I just think philosophically that's, you know, if you want to be resilient, that's how you do it. You diversify yourself. So I still, you know, I know nothing about it. I can take care of a vineyard, but I don't know how to make wine. But I still have a dream also of maybe one day making our own estate wine, you know, when we're at that point. Mm-hmm. So I do. I'm super excited about being on the farm and all the opportunities we have moving forward and working with you and Crimpy. And I just think there's a tremendous opportunity as well in agriculture moving forward in the country. I really do.
So you kind of were touching on that there. Is there something that stands out from this life that you've now created in comparison to the one that you had before that you're just really excited about, that really has fulfilled you and makes you think, you know, yeah, this is, with all the worry that comes along with farming and the farmers out there know, what are you excited about when you wake up in the morning?
It's a good question. I've honestly found the most reward truly from the guests, you know, the unexpected friendships that I've developed over years of being out here. And it's happened in truly serendipitous ways where I'm getting ready to develop something on the farm, and then next thing you know, there's an expert who's just happened to be staying at the B&B. So I guess the irony, we weren't farmers, but we started to learn to be farmers in large part because of the guests. You know, they inspired us to do more with it because of their own enjoyment. And we've also had some just tremendous people come by that have really kind of pointed me along a right path. So I think it's the confirmations that I've had through guests that have stayed with us that's really been the most inspiring. And they kind of keep me going with my own dream, even in the isolation. You know, I'm alone right now, but what I'm doing is the right thing, and in time people will see it. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that see it now, and they're the ones that come by and stay with us. So it's really been inspiring with the other people.
Well, that's community. That's what it gives us. We get our solitude, but then we also get our companionship and inspiration from each other. And we are wrapping up here today on the Living Permaculture Show. We hope that this has been inspiring to our listeners and to everyone out there considering jumping into whatever it is their dreams are, agriculture or otherwise. Take the leap. If you love it, you should do it. Nick, thanks for being on the show with us today. I'd love, before we sign out, for you to one more time give your contact information for our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me. Our farm is agapefarmandretreat.com. You can reach us there. There's all kinds of information. And we do tend to book out for the summer. We've got weddings and all different events happening. So definitely get on our website now if you want to check us out. And thanks again for having me, Stephanie.
Thank you for coming on.
We'll see you next month on Living Permaculture Show. Have a great day.